You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 384 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland, coming to you live on this fine Tuesday evening, about 8 p.m. here as I record this. I want to at least tell you guys what time it is, because last time on the podcast, Sunday afternoon, the podcast was pretty out of date early on. Much of the information that was shared on that show between myself and Jeff Siegel is still accurate and all that fun stuff, but there was some news breaking, and that's the nature of a head coaching search and a lot of names flying around. So I wanted to tell you guys when I'm recording this podcast, just in case, and that it actually becomes irrelevant in a hurry. You guys will know why about that. But at the same time, a little bit of news to get to on the pod, as well as just a couple of news and notes. Not a hugely packed podcast at this point in time. I'm trying to save my bullets a little bit for when the head coach is in place, and a lot of draft stuff to get to, including a couple of workouts that we will discuss on this podcast today. But the headliner at this point in time is still a coaching search. I guess a couple of hours after I recorded on Sunday afternoon with Jeff Siegel, word broke from a number of outlets that Lloyd Pierce, the assistant coach for the Philadelphia 76ers, was basically emerging as a front runner for the Hawks position. Still a lot of times Pat has passed since then without any real update to that end. Michael Cunningham of the AJC noted that the Hawks had slashed their search to a four candidate group, with Pierce, Blazers assistant Nate Tibbetts, Hornets assistant Stephen Silas, and Celtics assistant Jay Larinaga. Also, the ESPN duo of Adrian Wojnarowski and Mark Spears noted that the search was actually down to three options, with Larinaga not being on their list. So all discussion about Jaren Collins and Darvin Ham and that crew of people apparently is not going to be available at this point in time. It looks like they're down to four. I actually thought Collins might be a good option. It might be somebody who I thought was probably one of the more likely options, just reading between the lines, but it looks like he's now off the list. And a lot of focus is on Lloyd Pierce at this point in time. Word broke that Pierce was expected to meet with the Hawks ownership group as well, headlined by Tony Ressler and Travis Schlenk, of course, on Tuesday. The Sixers are, of course, still playing in the playoffs. They actually won their game on Monday evening to stay alive. Had they lost that game, Pierce would have been sort of free and clear, but still, obviously, that was why there was no news on Mondays, because they were not able to meet with him on a game day in a playoff game. But Pierce was scheduled to meet with the Hawks on Tuesday. No word of that just yet, but that's sort of the latest now, and it looks like he's been the front runner, according to the reporting that's out there from ESPN, especially noting that. And listen, I've reached out to a number of people about Pierce. We talked about it extensively on the last podcast. It's kind of really difficult to actually form full-fledged opinions about guys without firsthand knowledge, but I've talked to everybody that I possibly can talk to at this point in time in Philadelphia, everybody that covers that team that I am aware of, and people that have come into contact with Pierce other places. Everybody seems to be really upbeat and positive about him, especially from a defensive standpoint and a player development standpoint. There's been some reporting out there and some buzz that I've heard both on and offline about just how much he has had to do with Philadelphia's defensive renaissance. The Sixers have been very, very good defensively this season. Part of that's just having a lot of defensive talent with Joel Embiid, et cetera, and Ben Simmons being good. But at the same time, Pierce has been credited with a lot of that defensive aptitude in Philly alongside Brett Brown. So shouts to Lloyd Pierce on that one. And we'll obviously have a lot more on that if he indeed is offered and takes the job. But at this point in time, he's just the stated and reported front runner, and we'll see what happens from there. Elsewhere on the podcast today, we'll get away from coaching news. It's not really much else to go on here, but there was an ESPN ranking that I thought was interesting. We actually wrote about a little bit on PeaceTreeGroups.com this week, but the duo of Mike Schmitz and Kevin Pelton of ESPN went out and sort of decided that they were going to rank the rookies from this year in terms of their quote, future potential, end quote. That also included Ben Simmons, so it's basically a 2017 redraft plus Ben Simmons. So that's a guy, obviously, that you would rather have than John Collins. But Collins got a lot of positive marks in there. In fact, both Schmitz and Pelton on their individual lists had John Collins as the number 7 overall rookie when it comes to future potential. And given that he was drafted number 19 overall plus Ben Simmons, that's a huge jump from John Collins. There was also a Peace for Hoops roundtable last week that we talked about that, sort of where he would go. The general consensus was somewhere in that 6 to 11 or 12 range, which is about right. I think there's a couple of situations where you can nitpick a little bit between Collins and other guys in that range, but obviously it looks like he's going to be a consensus top 10 player moving forward in that class. the jury's still out in terms of what he actually could be long-term in terms of his ceiling and role and all that fun stuff. I think he's a center, for instance, where people think he's a power forward long-term because of these sort of not necessarily traditional center size, etc. So that's a debate that will rage in the coming days. But at the same time, it was really nice to see him get a lot of positive vibes from a national outlet, people that I think are trustworthy and good sources with Schmitz and Pelton. Pelton more of a numbers-driven evaluation, whereas Schmitz was more eye test. And it's good to see him coming out in that on that kind of level and sort of both varieties and ways to that you can evaluate players. Also, at least on one of the two lists, or at least on both in a couple of instances, Collins landed ahead of Dennis Smith Jr. of the Mavs, Josh Jackson of the Suns, Markelle Fultz, the number one pick from the Sixers, as well as Jonathan Isaac of the Magic. I'm not sure I would take him over those guys necessarily, but just another stamp of approval just to see Collins ahead of those guys on one or two of those lists there. And Collins was obviously better than most rookies as a rookie, I should say. I think if you're talking about just the performance from this year, it's a very, very short list of players that I think Collins would be behind, frankly. Obviously, you know, aside from Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, and maybe Kyle Kuzma, everybody else, I think Collins is pretty safely ahead of in terms of the way that they performed as a rookie, but that's a different thing entirely. When talking about future potential, there's some guys, I think Fultz for sure at this point. I think Fultz's upside, if he can figure out the jump shot, is considerably higher than Collins. That's just one example, but one of those things where it's nice to see Collins get some love, and a lot, I think the fan base sort of appreciated that kind of impetus from a national outlet. Last but not least on the podcast today, again, a pretty short podcast coming for you guys. I apologize, not a whole lot going on. I'm sort of in that holding pattern like everybody else is when it comes to the next head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. But at the same time, some of the draft workouts got underway this week. Actually, the second one's going to be happening on Wednesday mornings. As I'm recording this on Tuesday night, it'll be tomorrow morning. The first workout was not jam-packed full of necessarily first-round projected picks. That's kind of the way these things work. The Hawks have several guys in at the same time. You might have one or two headliners, and the first headliner on Monday was actually Georgia Tech guard Josh Okogie, who's not necessarily a consensus top 25 player or anything like that, but you've seen some people that really, really like Okogie. He's been sort of a late riser. I think also Jeff Siegel of PeachtreeHoops.com, and of course, he's been a frequent guest on this podcast, wrote about Okogie on PeachtreeHoops over the weekend, and that was actually sort of good synergy in that he was actually in town to do a workout on Monday. I think Okogie could be somewhere in the Hawks range of 30 or 33. He's a nice upside piece, honestly. He's a very good athlete. He has some strengths and weaknesses that are very interesting. I would definitely recommend reading that profile from Jeff Siegel, as well as just sort of, you know, watching some film of Okogie if you're interested in him. But I think he'd be a worthy selection in that range. So he was in town for the Hawks to meet with him on Monday. And then on Wednesday, a couple of people that are certainly noteworthy in the draft process. Brian Bowen, not necessarily a huge draft name at this point in time, but you might remember him from Louisville and the saga that apparently he was at least scheduled to be paid $100,000, got Louisville in some trouble and sort of the FBI stuff, all that fun behind the scenes college basketball stuff. He was tied to that and is now at South Carolina with a chance to potentially go to the draft at this point in time. Elsewhere in that group that will be visiting on Wednesday, Jalen Hudson of Florida. I recommend that. We also wrote a profile of him last week. He's probably a top 40 pick or so, 45 pick or so, a really interesting shooting guard prospect. Probably not the best fit in the world for the Hawks, considering they just drafted Tyler Dorsey. They're kind of similar players in a lot of ways, but that's somebody to follow along with. And Maryland big man Bruno Fernando, who is sort of a late riser. I think he probably will go back to Maryland, frankly, if he's smart. I think he has some room to grow there, but it's sort of an intriguing prospect in some ways. And of course, there's a lot of other guys bouncing around. But for full write-up information and full list of the workouts, I recommend checking out Peachtree Hoops. But I want to at least mention that workouts are up and running. I'm going to go to as many of those as I possibly can. With the day job, it's not always easy to pop down to the practice facility at 10 o'clock on a weekday, but if there's somebody that's in town, especially when we get into the top 10, 15 guys that are really sort of in the running for the Hawks, I will be trying to get down there to talk to as many of those guys as possible, maybe potentially even sharing some audio from prospects as they are in Atlanta, and hopefully that will be coming in the coming days. So thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. I appreciate the sort of the understanding about this it's a very short podcast by our standards, but I think you guys know that as soon as the head coach hire will be coming, we'll have plenty of information on that, and then once that domino falls, we'll sort of start diving in a little bit more deeply to the NBA draft and even some free agency stuff. I know it's still a long ways away. I know the draft feels like it's a long way away, but free agency is even beyond that. But the draft lottery is next week, a week from tonight as I'm recording this. We will know where the Hawks are picking in the sort of hopefully at least the top three, top five of the NBA draft. So stay tuned for that. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done already. I really appreciate everybody that's already done that over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please check us out. Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, even Spotify, all those places where you listen to podcasts. We should be there if you want somewhere else. If you have a podcast software that we are not on, please let me know that, and I will do my best to get the podcast on there as soon as possible. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll come back. When we have news on the head coach and nothing else, we'll have another podcast with another sort of a big picture topic coming at the end of the week. So stay tuned for that.